Let me just tell you what's going on and what's happening. This is week two in a five-part series I'm doing called Iowa City Church of Christ 101, who we are and what we're all about. I'm using this kind of as a supplement. About every two or three months, I do a class called Connect. Membership class is for people that are interested in our church and want to become a member or just interested in knowing more about us. And so I have a lot of people that want to take that class, that want to get into that class. And I thought, well, let's just do a whole series. It'd be good review for the old-timers, good for the new folks. And so if you miss one, they're all online. You can listen to them on our website or recording them. So if you want to know who we are and what we're all about, this is the place to be. All right? So... But I'm going to make no bones about it. I really want this series to be kind of a next step for everyone. So if maybe you're here and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord, I'd love for this series to kind of be the impetus to kind of push you maybe to make that decision. Or maybe you're, you know, looking for a church family. I really hope this would clear up some things. It would help describe a place where you'd love to worship and be a part. And if you're a member of the church and you've been so for a long time, I'd really love for this to be some kind of... encouragement to help you take the next step in leadership. We always need more help, more ministry team leaders, more servants, more everything. And God hasn't even completed what he's doing here. He's just getting started. And I know there's many more dreams and many more things that need to be done, and it's going to come through people like you. So I want this series to kind of be a next step type thing for all of us. Okay? So I'm not hiding where I'm going with it. Just to give you a heads up. Today we're going to talk about what we believe. And the reason this is an important thing to talk about regarding what we believe is that we live in a culture that doesn't believe a whole lot of anything, quite frankly. Have you heard some of these phrases? Have you heard of this one? This is the best one. Oh, whatever. Have you heard that? I know you have. It's everywhere. Oh, whatever. I don't know. Whatever. It's very popular. Here's another one. Oh, if it makes you happy, go ahead and do it. If it makes you happy. Okay? And then here's another one. Just follow your heart. Wherever your heart leads, just follow your heart. Have you heard those? All three of them say essentially the same thing. There isn't necessarily a right or a wrong, but if it feels like it's something that's good for you, you know, if it floats your boat, then go for it. Just do whatever you think is right. That's kind of how our culture has gotten itself into the situation it has right now. We have a lot of broken marriages, broken lives, a lot of nasty effects of sin in our culture, and a lot of it just comes from the fact that we just do whatever. We don't really do much of anything. It's just kind of, well, whatever makes you happy. And that's led to a lot of frustration on our parts and in your part, I know. And I think we should probably listen to what the wisest man who walked the earth, minus Jesus, but Solomon. Solomon said this in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. He said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." I mean, Solomon's way of determining what was best for his life wasn't to lean on or support his whole life on his brains, or what was between his ears, or to trust his heart. Solomon had determined that he didn't know what was best for his life. In fact, he thought just the opposite. He determined that the creator of the universe, the creator of the world, knew what was best for his life, and he was going to live his whole life focused in on what God had to say. And that works great, doesn't it? For those of us who figured that out, maybe you're exploring that and discovering that yourself. When you do things God's way, it makes sense. It's because he created it. I still do have a great friend. He's a children's minister now, but when we lived in Quincy, Illinois, my friend Cam was a youth minister in another church, and we hung out a lot. We were about the same age, and he was just a goofy youth minister dude, and we had just a ton of fun together. But one time, we were sitting down, and he was telling me this story about when he was growing up as a kid. He was about a teenager, and he's living in the Denver area. And one of the things that he and some of his buddies were doing, they were taking their dirt bikes, and they were ramping them off this big ramp into a lake. And what they were trying to do is they wanted to be like a Mountain Dew commercial back in the 80s. I don't know if you remember the Mountain Dew commercials in the 80s, but they always had these guys doing dirt bikes in the air. And so what they were trying to do is jump the bike just like the Mountain Dew commercial. And he said that everything was going fine, but they couldn't get the bike to go sideways in the air. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but it'd go sideways. And so my buddy Cam, he said, "You know, I had this great idea. I decided that I would tie my shoelace on my right leg to my bike frame, and so that when I got in the air, I could lift my leg and the bike would go with me." And you know what? It worked. He took off and he was in the air. And he goes, "Yeah, dude." He's like one of these dude guys. He's like, "Dude, it was awesome. You know, I was in the air and I just lifted up my leg and it was sideways. And it was great." And then he paused. And I thought I knew it was coming. I said, and then he hit the water, right? Yeah. It's like, I forgot I was tied to a bike. I'm like, oh, Cam. And he said, so I hit the water, and he was under the water. And it didn't sink because the tire is kind of sort of floated, but it's mostly a metal frame, obviously. So he's underneath the water, and he realizes his foot is tied to his bike. And then he's upside down. He doesn't know which way is up or down because he's gone in at a weird angle. So he's telling me this story, and I'm just busting laughing because he's such a dork. And he's telling me this, and I'm laughing. And he goes, well, what I did is I blew bubbles to figure out which way was up. And I said, well, that was good. That makes sense. So he figured out which way was up, and then he said that he was able to take his shoe off so that he could swim up to the top. And so obviously he survived the experiment. And so I'm laughing the whole time. And afterwards I said, Cam, what did you think was going to happen when you tie yourself to a bike and jump in the water? And he's like, I just forgot about sinking. And I'm like, oh yeah, obviously. And I tell you that story because that's pretty much how a lot of us live our lives sometimes. We forget, don't we? And we forget that when we don't do things God's ways, there are consequences. You know that God did create things like gravity. You know, and your body needs oxygen. He also created and gave us instructions on how to engage in relationships and how to live our lives and how to be holy, things of that nature. And so when you do things God's way, you reap some great benefits, but when you don't, there's always some kind of consequences. And so that proves true to your life as individuals, but it also proves true to the church. And so when we start talking about Iowa City Church of Christ and how we operate, I need to tell you, we don't just operate on how we feel. You know, we don't sit around and say, okay, let's do this, let's do this. The elders don't sit around and say, okay, we're going to do this week and this is what we believe. That's not how we operate. We're a church that operates off what God wants. To put it more clearly, like what we talked about last week, Jesus is the head of the church. He's the lead pastor. He's the head shepherd. He's the king. And we do what Jesus wants us to do. And so because of that, we study Jesus' words in the Gospels. We study the Old Testament, what Jesus taught from. We study the apostles in the New Testament church because we want to know how they did things and how they led the church and how it was set up and what the truths are and what things we need to look for. That's how we do church. We do it like Jesus taught us and how the Bible leads us to do church. And so to be a part of our church and be a part of this church family, there are seven essentials that are really important to who we are. They identify us. They are, if you could say it, they're our foundation. They support us. They guard us. They protect us. They give us boundaries. They help us be focused. But these seven essentials hold up our church. They are who we are. And if you want to be part of the church, you really need to believe these things. In fact, you do, because they come right from the Bible. But a few things I want to point out about these essentials. I'm going to have Josh put them up here on the screen as I go. But the first thing is, in all our beliefs, we have unity. Last week I talked about how our church is very diverse. All different ages, different backgrounds, different nationalities, different cultures. And that's one of the things that hopefully you should see any church that you go to. It should be incredibly diverse because that's the beauty of the church. God wants to bring all people back together. And so every good, healthy church should have all different types of people in it. But as we all know, living in our country, diversity doesn't always generate success, does it? What makes our church successful and makes a good, healthy church successful is that in our diversity, we are unified on the core values, on the core things that we believe in. And so that's really what makes Iowa City Church of Christ successful, in that we hold true to certain truths. We don't go back and forth. We say, okay, this is what we believe. And because of that, we can be united, because even though someone may be older and someone may be younger and there's a different philosophy on something, we both agree. And God is God, and Jesus is our King, and we're going to come back, and that unifies us. And we're always going to look to the Bible because it's truth. So in all of our different beliefs, we have unity. And that's very, very important, that we unify in these seven essentials. The next thing is that there are some non-essentials. There are some things that aren't pillars or foundations that are in the Bible. For example, some people believe that Genesis, the creation account. Personally, I believe that it was 6 days God created the heavens and the earth, everything, in six 24-hour days. There's some gaps in there, and some people believe that it took actually longer than that, okay? It's an interpretation issue. I'm fine with that. We're not going to have a doctrine of how the world is created that you have to believe to be part of our church, because there's some non-essentials that we're not going to hold your feet to the fire on. And Another one would be how the world's going to end. There's this whole big word called eschatology, and there's many different beliefs on how the world's going to end, how Jesus is going to come back. And we're not going to say, you have to believe this, that we have a doctrine of how the world's going to end. That's not how we operate. And so in areas of non-essentials, like speaking in tongues, different things like that, there's just a number of different issues that in the Bible isn't laid out as being super clear. In those areas, we have what's called liberty, where we're going to give you the freedom to explore, the freedom to discuss, the freedom to study. And that's one of the things I think is cool about our church, in that we're not going to tell you everything that you have to believe. We want you to be students of God's Word. We want you to study. If you're like me, the more you read the Bible, the more questions that you have, because God has given us more than what we can handle in the Bible sometimes. And so what we need to do is spend our whole life learning it, memorizing it, and knowing it. But we give you the liberty to explore it and to be a part of that here in our church. Okay? The last thing is, in all of our beliefs, we have charity. So regardless of what you believe, if you're here this morning and you just push back from everything I'm about to say, if you say, no, I don't believe Jesus and that he came back, I don't believe any of that. You know what? We love you, and we still want you to come be a part of our worship service. We still want you to come into this environment and hear God's Word. And so no matter what you believe, we offer to you charity, because we want you to hear the Word. We want you to experience it in a real way, in a practical way. And so no matter who you are, where you're coming from, we offer you charity. We offer you love, because we want you to know Jesus and know him to the best of our ability. And so we're going to always preach the truth. We're going to tell you the truth the best that we can. And we offer you an environment where you can explore those things on your own level. Okay? Fair enough? That's how we view our essentials. So, with no further delay, I think we have just about enough time. We're going to try to hit 7 essentials in 15 minutes. We'll see if we can do that. I'm going to go through them pretty quick, and let me tell you where I'm going in the next few months. Through the months of September, October, November, I'm going to unpack each of these and do a whole message on each and every one of these. Today I'm just going to hit all 7 of them pretty quick. But so if you have questions, feel free to talk to me later about some of these. But if you want more, hold on. In the coming months, we're going to go in deep, real deep, as to what we believe and why we believe that. Okay? Very good. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Josh put up what we believe, and then the definition, and then I'll have a scripture, and then I'll just give a little bit of explanation as to why it's one of our essentials. And I might have to cheat off of Josh's. And I lost my sheet. All right, here we go. Is that it? Okay. Oh well. We're all relying on Josh this morning. I know it's a lot of pressure. All right. The first one is God. Here we go. This is what we believe about God. God is the creator and ruler of the universe. He has eternally existed in 3 personalities, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These 3 are co-equal and are one God. And then from Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here's why believing in God is an essential for us. It all starts with God. I'm sorry. It all starts with God. He created it. He put it into motion. He oversees it. It all starts with God. Every week we come here to church, and for the first part of our worship service, we worship the living God, because we believe that there is no other God but Yahweh, no other deity, no other person that we can turn to, look to, but God. He alone is who we worship, and we acknowledge that he's the giver of life, he's going to be the taker of life, his will is sovereign, it plays out in this world, and we honor that, and we worship him each and every week. That is essential to who we are. We believe in God. Let me just throw one thing out. Maybe you don't believe that. Maybe you're exploring that for yourself right now. Do I believe in God? Do I really believe in God? Let me just throw this out. Everyone here in this room, everyone in the world has a God. Even an atheist has a God. You see, everyone worships something. Everyone gives their life to something. Everyone devotes time and energy and money and trust to something. I choose to give everything to God. And hopefully you do too. And because I give everything to God, I devote my time, my money, how I live with my life, my God, everything is in devotion to him, because it's everything. And so regardless of whether or not you believe in God right now, you do worship something. See, that's the thing about the pagan idols in the Old Testament. they're just statues. I mean, you know that. But what made it so evil to have those things is that they believed that that life came from those statues. And they gave all of their devotion, their time, and their money to the statues. So what is it that you worship? Hopefully, it's the one true God. He means everything to us. Okay, that's the first one. Number two, what we believe about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is co-equal with the Father. Jesus lived a sinless life and offered himself as the perfect sacrifice for the sins of all people by dying on a cross. He rose from the dead after 3 days to demonstrate his power over sin and death and ascended to heaven's glory and return again someday to earth to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Why is this essential? Because without Jesus, we have no way to get to God. It's fine you can believe in God, but without Jesus, you can't repair that relationship with God. I don't know if you know this, but we're rebellious. We're sinners. And there's this huge gap between us and God. And what God did is he gave us Jesus Christ to bridge that gap, to provide for us a way to get back to him, to restore what was lost. And so for us, Jesus is everything. Jesus is us. It's life. He's given us life. And our church is a church of Christ. And we're all about Jesus Christ. We talk about him. We sing to him. We worship him. We pray to him. We read about him. He is everything. And you know why he's everything? Let me give you a no-brainer. Because the tomb's empty. I don't know if you've noticed this. You can go over to Israel now. You can go to Jerusalem. It's empty. No one's in there. He's gone, and he came back to life. And that's reason enough for me to put all my faith in Jesus Christ. And so he's the head of our church. He leads our church, and he is essential to who we are. So we believe in God the Father, and we believe in his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. All right? Number three is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is co-equal with the Father and the Son of God. He is present in the world to make men aware of their need for Jesus Christ. He also lives in every Christian from the moment of salvation. He provides the Christian with power for living, understanding of spiritual truth, guidance in doing what is right. He gives every believer a spiritual gift when they are saved. And as Christians, we seek to live under his control daily. This is what Jesus says about the Spirit. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Why is this essential? Because God is Spirit, and the part of you that lives forever is Spirit. What God has done for us is he has marked us, he's guarded us, he's redeemed us, he set us apart with his Holy Spirit. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, he gives you this gift of the Spirit to set you up, to prepare you, to lead you through life, to be all that you can be. Our biggest issue probably is tuning in to the Spirit, but that's another issue. But we believe in the Spirit because he's a part of what's going on in your everyday life. And if you ignore that, if you walk away from it, then you're missing out on a key ingredient in becoming all that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you to become. All right? So that's the Holy Spirit. Let's go to number four, about the Bible. The Bible is God's word to us. Human authors, under the supernatural guidance of the Holy Spirit, wrote it. It is a supreme source of truth for Christian beliefs and living. Because God inspired it, it is the truth without any mixture of error. And this is the scripture from 2 Timothy. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay, why do we believe in the Bible? Because Jesus did. That's why. Because God gave it to us. Everything that we have, as far as guidance and in our hands, stuff that we can get our minds around and read and teach and study and talk about, is in the Bible. And we're not a church that just sits around and makes up stuff. We don't get stuff from a denomination. You know, the Pope doesn't say you're going to do this week and this is how it's going to roll, you know, at your place. We get our marching orders, we get our direction, we get our foundation from the Bible. So I talk about it and preach about it, and I hope you read it, and I hope you memorize it, I hope you get it in your mind, because this is very, very important to us. And you notice one thing in there is that we believe it's without error. You're going to go to churches that aren't going to agree with would agree with us on that. They would say, you know, there's some error, there's some issues with it. One of the things that's really cool about the Bible is all the things that we're talking about today in the Bible about these essentials, there is no question about them. The Bible reveals them as being truth. And we believe that without doubt the Bible is what they are given to us so that we can better know God and His plan for our life. Okay? So the Bible is very important to us. Let's go to the next one. About human beings. People are made in the spiritual image of God to be like Him in character. People are the supreme object of God's creation. Although every person has tremendous potential for good, all of us are marred by an attitude of disobedience toward God called sin. This attitude separates people from God and causes many problems in life. And that's a huge understatement. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. I would also add in this scripture. It's not on there, but it's Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Why is this an essential belief? Because we live in a culture, in a world that believes that man is the means to the end. And that if we can just get together and talk, if we can just have a conference and sign a treaty, or if we can just get together and sing kumbaya, that everything's going to be better, okay? How's that work so far? Not so hot. You know why? Because as men and women, we have a problem with sin in our life. And regardless how nice, how good someone is, we make selfish choices, we hurt other people, and the means to the ends on this planet is not us. It's God. And it's God and what He is doing. And so we believe this because we want to be a part of what God is doing, and that is restoring and redeeming mankind. And He's doing that through Jesus Christ and through His Holy Spirit and through the church. And so we believe this about mankind, not so that we can glorify ourselves, but so that we can partner with God to be a part of the solution. And that's helping everyone know that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and has offered them eternal life. Okay? That's an essential for what we believe and how we view mankind. Let's go to the next one. About salvation. Salvation is God's free gift to us, but we must accept it. We can never make up for our sin by self-improvement or good works. Only by trusting in Jesus Christ as God's offer of forgiveness can anyone be saved from sin's penalty. Forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life are available to those who trust Christ as Savior and Lord. Those accepting Christ should repent of sin, confess of their faith, and be baptized into Him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. why we believe this? Why this is essential? Because there's one way to fix our relationship with God. Only one. There's not multiple ways. There's not, okay, whatever works for you, you know, you believe this, you believe that, that's fine. But there is but one way to repair and fix the relationship that we have with God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that means we walk away from ourselves being boss of our own lives and allowing Jesus to be boss of our life and to rule our life. It means confessing our sins, and it means entering into a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ through baptism. And great moments, and actually hold on to this, because next week we're going to spend the whole message talking about this next week. So we'll come back to that more next week. But that's one of the essentials that we believe. Okay, let's go to the next one. Number 7, last one, yes. Number 7, about eternity. People were created to exist forever. We will either exist eternally separated from God by sin or eternally with God through forgiveness and salvation. To be eternally separated from God is hell. To be eternally in union with Him is eternal life. Heaven and hell are real places, yes, of eternal existence. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We believe, why this is essential, is that we believe that this, your time on earth is not the end. This is only the beginning. In fact, everything that you're doing right now is preparing for when you die. Because when you die, that's eternity. And what we want to know and make crystal clear to everyone possible is that it does matter what you do here on earth, and that someday you will have to answer for what you did with Jesus. And so, because we believe passionately about that, we're going to tell people about Jesus. We're going to do whatever ministries, whatever programs, whatever we can do, whatever relationships we can enter into, so that people know that it does matter what you do with your life and what you do with Jesus here on earth. That is an essential to who we are and what we're all about. So there you go. We did it. 7 in about 15 minutes. Actually 14. That's who we are. So if these things resonate with you, I would encourage you to consider finding a church family that you could be a part of, a church family that you could connect with that believes as you believe. However, if you're here and you kind of have listened to those and you're thinking, I don't know if I believe in those, or some of them I like and I'm not quite there with them yet, I just ask and I pray that you would be patient. Continue to explore, continue to seek, continue to study God's Word and see if this is something that you can put your faith in, that's something that you can believe in. Let me tell you why. Were you all able to watch the Olympics or the opening ceremonies, at least snippets of it? My family watched it. It was pretty impressive. The Chinese now put on quite a show, and it was quite a show. Of course, they spent a lot of money, so it should be a good show. But one of the things that I connected with was as I was watching the opening games, the ceremony, they went through the history of China, and they talked about Confucius a lot, and they talked a lot about harmony. And then I matched that up against what I know the Chinese government and the ideology that it preaches and the control it has over its people. And when I look at China, I see incredible potential, but I see a lot of confusion. And this is just an American from Iowa looking at their situation. So I'm not judging them, I'm just making an observation. So I match that up against all this stuff going on with one of these facts that very few people don't know, and that is the church, the fastest segment of the church in the world is in China. And yet here you have this great, you know, in their eyes, this great government and then all these great teachings, and yet what we see going on in China is really awesome, is that underground this church is going nuts. It's growing crazy. And I'm pretty convinced this is why. It's because the church offers them something that they can believe in. Because for, 40 years, they've had a government that says, okay, we'll take care of you, you know. We'll be your mama and papa. We'll watch over you. And what's that done? They want something to believe in. And what does Christianity offer? They have Confucius, who taught all these great things, right? But what are they finding in Christianity, in Jesus Christ? Something to believe in. Now, I'm not dissing on the Chinese, because we have the same issue in the United States, right? We're looking for something to believe in. I mean, the biggest choices we wrestle with, you know, is Walmart or Target. You know, supersize me or hold the five, you know, and I'll go with some nuggets. Or how am I going to pay my credit card this week or this month? You know what I'm saying? We're so obsessed with things that aren't important, and yet in our hearts, we're longing for something to believe in. And I could go around the world, in every country, and every people group around the world is looking for something to believe in. And what I want to tell you this morning is that in Jesus Christ, in our Heavenly Father, in the church, you can find something to believe in. And doesn't that give you a lot of comfort? Doesn't that give you some protection? Doesn't that give you purpose to know that in the world of chaos and confusion and of hurt and pain, there's a place that you belong and a place that you can believe? Let's pray. Father, we wrap up this message this morning just by thanking you for not leaving us alone. I shudder to think about the pain and the suffering that would be on this planet if you had just left us as orphans. But you've poured out light through Jesus Christ. You've poured out hope through your Holy Spirit. You've given us a path in your Word. We cherish that, and we follow it, and we pursue it. And most of all, we live that out in a church. And I would pray for anyone here who has a decision to make for Jesus, maybe to find a church family, just to make sense of their life. I pray that they would find it in a church, and find it in a church that believes in the important things that the Bible teaches. Father, as we go into another week, I pray for your guidance and direction over each one. Guard us from the enemy. Help us look to your Word as direction. Look to people and things that we can believe in so that we can be better followers of you. Father, thank you for not leaving us alone. I pray this because of Jesus.